Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was also called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hand, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Invite the children to come up. Hi, good morning. Again. Have you ever had somebody tell you something that was just so unbelievable that you couldn't believe them? What kind of things do they tell you? Do you think of something like, did somebody tell you that they could jump higher than a house? Did anybody tell you that? Did you know that I can jump higher than a house? You don't think so? Well, how high can a house jump? See, we all get people telling us things that are so strange and so unusual. Ever so often, they'll tell us things that we can't believe. Like, can we fly? No. But if I was in an airplane, I could fly, right? See? Well, Thomas is one of the disciples, and he's in the upper room with his friends. But they've been telling him all week long, Jesus was here. We saw him. And Thomas says, "Come on. You're not going to pull that one on me. I don't believe it." And then what happened? Did you hear what happened in the gospel? Who came? Jesus came and he said, "Here, look at my hands. Look at my side. It's really me. I'm not a ghost." So next time somebody tells you something that's so incredible, so impossible to believe, remember Thomas. Thomas had to think about what Jesus had done. And then he believed. Do you think you could believe it if Jesus came in the room with you? What if somebody else told you that? Would it be hard to believe? Yeah. Are there certain people you can believe and some people you can't? Yeah. So we have to be careful who we believe. But we can believe that Jesus loves us and came back to life for us, right? Let's say thank you to Jesus, shall we? Thank you, Jesus, for coming back to life and for telling us that the day will come when if we die, we will live too. So bless us, Lord, and help us remember that you are always there to care for us. Amen. Thank you. A man was shipwrecked on a deserted island. And he had been there for 3 years. When finally he saw a ship on the horizon, and he sent up some signals, and he was so happy to see that they stopped and they had sent a boat to come to the island. But when the officer got out of the boat, he had a fistful of newspapers, and he handed them to the man and said, "The captain suggested that you might want to read these before you decide whether or not you really want us to rescue you." Wow, what a decision. You know, when you look at all that's going on around the world, desert island kind of sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Well, the disciples were in that position too. They have hidden away in this room, locked the doors for fear of the Jews. And they're wondering what's going to happen. They know, because the first time he visits, Jesus gives them a mission, that God wants to change the world. The disturbing part of it is one that probably disturbs all of you too. God wants to change the world through you. You know, it's nice to see somebody else change the world, but God wants to use you. Because you see, the day of your baptism, you became a member of his body, the church. You became a disciple of Jesus Christ. So when he appears in the wilderness, in the upper room, it's not a wilderness. It's wherever we are. He is there, and he sends us into that world. There are miracles and wonders around us all over if we open our eyes to see them. But sometimes we're all like Thomas. We have to see it and feel it and touch it ourselves. An inventor brought in this nice little motor. In fact, it was such a good motor. He was so proud of it, he put it on a black velvet cloth and took it to a manufacturer and asked the manufacturer if he would be willing to build it and sell it. And the man looked around it. He could see that it was a beautiful motor. He said, "However, as good as it looks, I don't see that it's doing nothing. You want me to consider it? Make it do something. Make it work." And I think that's one of those things that Thomas has problem with too. Making his faith work. Because when Jesus comes, Jesus literally says, "Make your faith work, Thomas. Here, put your hands in these scars. Put your hand in my side. See, it's real. It's not imaginary." Don't be an engine that could if it would, but it won't. Be an engine that will actually do something. A message not just for Thomas and the other apostles, but a message for every one of us who are disciples of Christ, who are members of his body, called to be the people of God wherever we are. I was thinking, what a temptation it would be to give up the world. You know, I was looking at the news And which is a mistake sometimes. Sometimes I'm better off not looking at the news. But we've got problems in Sri Lanka, got problems in Israel, you got problems in Iran, you got problems with Russia or China or Washington, D.C. You name it, we got problems in this world. And sometimes we like to say, stop the world, I want to get off. But Jesus says, you're that little engine that can, if it will. I will bless you so that you can do that. But you gotta do it. You can't just say you are it. When Jesus calls us, he calls us to be his body. And that's a hard one, because what it means is, if the body of Christ is going to live, not a single person, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how senile you are, you're still called upon to be a living part of that body and to make it work. You think about people like Abraham, a wandering Aramean. All he knows is sheep herding. But God calls him and tells him he's going to make of him a great nation, despite the fact that he's childless. And he's going to send him to a place that God will show him. And that's us. We're Abraham. And God's sending us in a direction we don't always know where we're going. And we don't even know that we've got all the tools we need to do it. We may think of ourselves as just dumb Buffaloites. But God doesn't call us that. God sees what we have within us and sends us on this journey. There is Joseph. Remember, Joseph was just a kid when he was kidnapped and taken off to Egypt and becomes a slave. But Joseph believed the prayers that he prayed would be answered. He believed in the dreams that God gave him, and as a result, he was able to save not just the Egyptians from famine, but his own family from famine. And Moses is out there in the wilderness as a refugee, as a criminal. He has been condemned by Pharaoh, and yet God tells him to go and do his thing. And as difficult as it seemed, Moses was able to lead the children out of slavery and into the freedom of the promised land. And we could go on with all of the characters of Scripture to remind ourselves that those people must have thought of themselves at one point or other as that little engine that could if it would, but they decided they would. And for us as a congregation, we have to ask the question too. Is all of that history, those 50 years, you know, the people who founded this church way back then didn't think of it as a wasted motor. They saw the possibility that God had in mind for it. And now we celebrate on June 2nd. But are we celebrating a new life? Or are we celebrating just the old? And if that's all we celebrate, then what we are doing is saying, well, it's over. We did our thing. Let's close the doors, sell the property, and do something else. But that's not what God called us to. That's not what God called those who started this church to. What God called us to was to put our faith to work. Sometimes it takes a little bit more than just saying we believe. It's great to say I believe in God. But what do you do about it? It's great to believe in Jesus Christ, but what do you do about it? Neville Chamberlain was an aide to Churchill during World War I. They were having problems with their aircraft. They were losing more aircraft and more pilots from spinning out than they were from enemy fire. In fact, I think one place I read they were losing 3 aircraft and pilots to every one that was shot down. And they knew they had to do something, but nobody knew what to do. Chamberlain, I think, was somewhat of a mathematician. He figured out the aerodynamics of the spin, and he figured out a way to correct it. He took it to the Air Force personnel, and they said, well, that's nice on paper, but we aren't going to trust any of our pilots or any airplanes to check it out. Chamberlain said, teach me to fly, and I'll prove it. 3 weeks after he qualified to be a pilot, he took his airplane as high as he could take it and then put it deliberately into a spin. And most of those on the ground were saying, well, there he goes, he's dead. But he pulled it out again using what he had, what he knew to be a fact. For him, it wasn't just a matter of saying, yeah, I believe it. It was a matter of putting his faith into action, making the engine work. That's our challenge, isn't it? To make this engine come alive and do what God has called us to do. May we be the engine that says, doesn't say, I can't, but the engine that says, I will. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.